You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
It is Friday, November 25th, 2016. And this is the Roto Experts in the Morning alongside the returning king, Scott Angle, and Tony Cincotta as well. I am Greg Sussman, Corey Parson off today as well. He'll be back on Monday morning. What's going on, Scotty? Happy Thanksgiving, man.
Happy Thanksgiving to you and your Tony. I hope you guys had a good turkey day. Kind of a ho-hum game, and first game until the end. Exciting second game, and kind of met expectations in the third one.
Yeah, I thought it was actually a fun day of football. I was in and out. I think as most people were, kind of in and out of watching games, talking to people. Because you sit there and you feel rude just sitting watching the game while other people are like around a table and talking. I was like, I kind of want to watch this, but like I also don't want to be a dick. So
yeah,
it's trying to find that balance. Tony, man, happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving. Yeah, but don't you feel like when people know what you do for a living, don't you feel like that everyone wants to talk to you about the game? Like they feel like you have this expert opinion. So like then you get in. Like it's the opposite for me. It's like, man, they want to talk to me about it, and like you just want to watch the game.
I totally agree with you as well. But I just feel bad not answering people's questions. I feel bad like trying to, and also you talked about this yesterday, Tony. I like trying to explain to people like what you do, and so did Benny yesterday. Explain to it, and you go to it, and they kind of look at you. Oh, that sounds really fun. I'm like, yeah, it's great. I love it, but like I just want to watch the game. Just like, and then you try to use the excuse. I don't know how it works for you guys, but like during the Dallas Washington game, you know, come hang out. This is work for me. I got to be able to analyze the game here.
Yeah,
that excuse only goes so far.
Yeah, that's why I don't like Super Bowl parties, because everybody like wants to watch the commercials and you know talk about other things. I just want to watch the game.
Yeah, I agree. But we actually, as you said, Scotty, we had a good day of games yesterday. We'll go in order. We'll go game by game. I'll talk about what we all saw coming up later on in the show. Mike Florio will join us for Is Mike Lying, which I can see him looking at now. our Pro Football Reference. So good job, Mikey. We'll do that. We'll go game by game, giving some predictions out, and we'll talk some last minute stuff. So it should be fun today. Fantasy Best Friends Forever, of course, follows us at 10 a.m. You want your questions answered? 844-843-6879. 844-843-6879. Go to rotoexperts.com. I'm assuming Scott's going to do the hard sell right now, so please go ahead.
Yeah, we got Corey Parson chatting at 2 p.m. Eastern tomorrow.
From Atlanta.
Yes, from Atlanta. Make sure you log on and chat with the fantasy executive. Check out Dan Dobish's Stardom and Sit'em and my lineup rankings. Enter free radio at checkout for a special discount. It's under $10 this time of year. Makes a great Black Friday gift.
Black Friday. Now, Tony mentioned this yesterday on the show, Scotty. It's Black Friday today, right?
Yes.
You've been kind of like beating around the bush with some super secret surprise over at Roto Experts. Are you ready to reveal that surprise?
Not yet.
It's Black Friday, though.
It's not ready yet.
Do you want any clue when it's going to be ready?
No, I can't talk about it
yet. You can't talk about that yet. Okay. Tony, does this remind you of just like Bigfoot?
As I talked to Mike Florio about her last show, right?
Yes.
When I was in the banking industry.
Yes.
And I would have agreed to do things. And people look at me like, how are we going to do it? Well, there was a bunch of people that sat in a room and they said, you know what? We're going to send a guy in a rocket ship to the moon. And then we're going to get him back. Now, that must have left people alarmed. So I don't understand why we can't get this thing done in a timely manner for this holiday when we sent guys to the moon in a rocket ship.
Well, I think we need Tony Cincotta to come into the room in a spacesuit and, you know, fire everybody up.
We got to get it done, my man. We got to get it done. Yeah. We got to have something available. Like, I am getting emails from the craziest people ever that you would think that would never have a Black Friday. Now, everybody offers something on Black Friday these days, right? Am I saying something incorrect?
No.
I mean, we got to offer something, Scott.
We're offering the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package for under $10.
But to be fair, can't you get that right now? The playoff pushes on. It's not really a Black Friday special. Scott's getting frustrated at us, Tony.
It won't be the so first or last, huh?
What did you say?
He can only do so much, he says.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Okay, let's get into the games from yesterday, guys. Minnesota and Detroit. Detroit Lions, I don't want to say went on a bit of a miracle. He went on a nice play by Darius Slay, right? It was Darius Slay at the end of the game?
Yes, Darius Slay.
Right.
And Cordarrelle Patterson doing his best Nelson Aguilar impression.
Yeah,
lining up illegally.
That was a very bad job by Cordarrelle Patterson yesterday. Minnesota, Sam Bradford throws his game away. Detroit wins 16-13. Matt Prater hits two big field goals at the end of the game. Predictably, I would say, Kyle Rudolph had a really big game, 9 for 64, as the Vikings under Pat Shurmur just like, listen, we're not going to throw it deep. We're going to play what they – we're going to try to limit the mistakes. And against Detroit, who have been burned by tight ends all year, they relied heavily on Rudolph, who led this team in receiving, 9 catches, 64 yards. Also, predictably, Adam Thielen leads the team in targets, 8 receptions, 53 yards. Those are the two main guys involved yesterday. Jerick McKinnon, if you started him, which I didn't, as everybody listening knows, 31 yards rushing, but did contribute 45 yards in the air, a few receptions. So in a PPR, he didn't kill you by any means. And that was kind of the offense for Minnesota, Tony.
Yeah, it was nothing to write home about. Bradford, you know, it's amazing when you look at his completion percentage. It was not a bad day for him.
Not awful.
But nothing came out of it from a fantasy standpoint. I mean, if you had Thielen, not a bad game. But 31 of 37, you would expect more than 224 yards and 6.1 yards a carry. I thought he played decent, but this offense is just not that good. And it was a great win for Detroit. I mean, now they basically have a two-game lead on this division.
Yep, we talk about previously that the Los Angeles Rams offense is as vanilla as it gets. And I think it's what Minnesota's offense is right now as well, right? 31 for 37 for Bradford, 224, and they're just limiting mistakes, doing these short routes and just getting their guys the ball. There's nothing to write home about. You're absolutely right, Tony. Scotty, Matt Asiata does find his way into the end zone here, falls in. He had 5 carries, fell into the end zone on a 5-yard run, and that's really it for Minnesota.
That's pretty much Matt Asiata's job.
Absolutely.
Sit on the bench until they get to, like, the 4-yard line and then just run it in. You know, it's one of the easiest jobs in all of professional sports, I think. It's Jerick McKinnon pretty much outside the 20s. You know, once in a while they'll put Asiata in and throw a swing pass to him, but, you know, it was only him and Anquan Boldin scoring the touchdowns yesterday. Both teams came out and had crisp first drive. He said, this might be an offensive game, and then the defenses started to tighten up, and you really didn't see anything until the end, until a big defensive play by really the one defensive back that you can respect by the Lions.
Yeah, absolutely. The one guy you probably should avoid, especially when the game's on the line and you're tied and you can go to overtime.
Yeah.
Probably should avoid throwing it in Darius Slay's direction here. Over to the other side for Detroit. They were led in receiving by Golden Tate, who had 5 for 77. Marvin Jones also showed up once again. Nice to see him back in action. 4 for 54. He was targeted 11 times, though, yesterday, Scott. That's got to give the Marvin Jones owner at least some, you know, worry off their back.
Not really, because I think this is the best game you can expect from Marvin Jones, what you saw yesterday. It's funny. I was, even though I wasn't here, I was working on email advice all morning pregame yesterday. And somebody hit us up on Roto Expert's email advice and said, should I start Jones or Rishard Matthews? Because I haven't pulled my Jones out of my lineup since week 2 because I fear that I'm going to bench him and then he's going to have another big game like he did early this season. It's like, what have we seen from Marvin Jones over the last, 6 to 8 weeks that makes you want to start him, especially when you don't have buys anymore? You know, maybe you have Rishard Matthews on a bye next week.
Right.
It's even though Marvin Jones had a decent game yesterday, it's nothing where it makes me want to start him going forward.
Well, I just think, like I said, encouraged by the fact that he saw 11 targets yesterday.
You're basically
yesterday.
Saying it didn't suck yesterday.
It didn't suck yesterday.
No. And that doesn't make me want to start a guy just because he didn't suck for 1 week.
The comparison you gave.
See, I look at it totally different.
One second. The comparison you gave toward Rishard Matthews, like obviously you're right now, you're starting Rishard Matthews over Marvin Jones. He's just been played better over the last month. There's no question about that in particular. But, Tony, Marvin Jones, I see a guy that was obviously been nowhere near involved in this offense over the last few weeks. Jim Bob Cooter has stated we're going to get this guy involved. He led this team in targets.
He said that last week and he did nothing.
But here he led the team in targets with 11, finished with 454, Tony.
Yeah, I basically said yes to the show. He was definitely playable.
You did.
And the reason, and I don't care what he's done the last 6 weeks. It's already over with. It makes no difference to me. What I look at is the secondary he's up against. And I told you that Golden Tate would have a tough game with Xavier Scriggs on him for most of that game. And Marvin Jones had a size advantage over their defensive backs. It definitely came into target. And that's why I like the Anquan Boldin as well. It was two bigger wide receivers against smaller defensive backs. Now, next week, it might be a different matchup. I'm not sure who they play. But for that one game, I thought it was definitely playable. And so did the Detroit offensive coordinator, Jim Bob Cooter, because they featured him. He had 11 targets.
I see where Tony's going with that. Like, it's a matchup to sort of exploit. But when I've just got 9 points out of the guy, you know, and I'm looking for more, something like that, I'm not crazy about it.
But you're
it.
Not. But I don't know. See, at this point, like we've been saying, he's been so bad, right?
Yeah.
That you hope for more. But if you played him as your flex this week and you got 9 points, like, I'd be okay. Yesterday, as we talked about throughout the show, I was trying to make a decision. And I wound up making the raw, you know, not as bad of a decision as I could have made. I had one spot for Cole Beasley, Dante Moncrief, and Marvin Jones. Now, Moncrief obviously had the touchdown. We were wrong about that. We'll get to him later on. But between Marvin Jones and Cole Beasley, in my league, they're within a point of each other. So the fact is, if I would have played Marvin Jones, I would have been fine with that, with his output.
I don't know. I don't feel comfortable with 9 points, really. It's like, you know, he didn't have a zero. He didn't have a five. He didn't kill you, but, you know, it doesn't excite me. Look, the guy didn't get a zero, but it doesn't
excite me. It's easy to say it after the game. What I'm saying is I don't have a problem, and I don't really care about the result. What I'm saying is the way you're going about putting together your roster, I don't believe it. I don't really give a crap about the last 6 weeks or even two weeks ago. What you look at is the matchup. Is he still out there? How many plays is he playing? Does he have an advantage over his opponent? That's the stuff we look at. I don't really care how many points he's got the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, I can understand where you're coming from, Tony, but like, I had lost so much confidence in the guy, and I understand where your analysis come from yesterday, that I felt I couldn't play him against anybody.
And there you go. He didn't. Anquan Boldin finishes with 7 for 69 at a touchdown. Tony, Boldin had 9 targets yesterday. Eric Ebron, I believe, had 1 target, and he did not complete it, and that was kind of it for Eric Ebron. Is Anquan Boldin someone we should be paying attention to?
No, he's going to be game to game. It's going to be different. And that was one of the things that we talked about, this size advantage that he had over the guy in the slot yesterday. So I thought they were going to pick that matchup up, and Boldin will be there. And Boldin's a guy that's never going to get down the field and never make big plays. He gets targeted, though, when they're in the green zone inside the 10-yard line. He's almost like having another tight end. You're having a 2 tight end offense out there. So he's going to be hit or miss in a lot of games. He's not a guy that I think you want on your season-long team that you could pick him for cheap on daily and things like that.
I did consider picking him up because I got a third wide receiver slot. And since Corey isn't here today, I'm going to have you guys examine a decision of mine here real quick.
Right.
I could either go with Marquise Lee, Russell Shepard, or pick up John Brown or J.J. Nelson this week.
No, so that's also completely unrelated to what we're talking about.
Yeah, but
nice.
I considered Boldin for that spot, but, you know, this is like annoying me all night, so I wanted to see what you guys thought.
All right, Shepard, who is it again? Shepard, John Brown.
John Brown, J.J. Nelson, Marquise Lee.
Yeah, you know, this one's tough because I talked about this at DFS today, that the Arizona has a great, great matchup against an Atlanta secondary that's been terrible. But how do you talk about this? You had no confidence in Marvin Jones. How could anyone have any confidence
in either of those, John
in
Brown
the
or
play
J.J.
of Carson Palmer, right?
Right.
I would go with J.J. Nelson out of the group, but when I look at my rankings, I have J.J. Nelson ranked right there with Michael Floyd and John Brown. They're only separated
Floyd
by...
Floyd so, you know, that kind
yeah,
of...
Yeah, that, but that
there.
Opens up... That makes it easier for Nelson and Brown to get an opportunity there. I would go with J.J. Nelson out of that group.
Really? You don't like Lee against the Texans?
No.
And I wonder about Shepard because although Humphreys is probably going to be in the slot, like Jeremy Lane's going to be in for Deshaun Shedd, Seattle-wise, I don't know who they're going to have in the slot of note. You know, they might have Elliott or Nico Thorpe or something like that. So I think that might bode well better for Adam Humphreys than it would for Russell Shepard.
Yeah, I think I would go with J.J. Nelson also, probably.
Yeah, just Adam Humphries actually. Yeah, I have Adam Humphries ranked. I hate to say this because we always get into this debate, Scott. I actually have Cecil Shorts ranked higher than Russell Shepard this week.
I just feel like Winston kind of likes Shepard, and I've only seen Shorts for one game. So, but the fact
that was the last game, Scotty.
Yeah, well, I've seen three pretty good games from Shepard. So, but the fact you throw it in there though makes me reconsider it. But you still like Nelson over all of those.
Yeah, like I said, I like Nelson as well. The matchup is incredibly well good. As you mentioned, Michael Floyd very well could not play this weekend. J.J. Nelson starts. John Brown has been pretty brutal as of late. I'll go with J.J. Nelson. So there you go.
Yeah, and Tyler Boyd.
And you have Tyler Boyd. Yeah, I would start Tyler Boyd over those guys.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Also here with Detroit, Theo Riddick had 5 catches, 13 yards, 9 carries for 45 yards. I mean, this is just a one-dimensional offense. One of the reasons you like Matthew Stafford, because they don't run the ball. However, Tone, only was 23 of 40 yesterday for 232 and 1.
Yeah, you know, this was a crazy game. He talked about it. That first drive, he looked at everything looked good, right, from an offensive standpoint. But Minnesota's such a good defense, and they've been struggling a little bit as of late. But this Detroit offense, we have so many one-dimensional offenses in the league that when you play a good defense, it sets up nice for these teams, and Detroit's fallen into that manner. I think a lot of times, like, you thought Matt Stafford wasn't a bad play yesterday because of the amount of throws, but he actually threw the ball less than I anticipated.
Yeah, he threw it. I mean, 40 times was a lot. It's obviously a lot of passes. Minnesota, a good defense. I just thought he'd be able to do more with throwing it 40 times. No interceptions though, so Stafford didn't kill you. You just hope for more from Matthew Stafford, Scotty.
Yeah,
there was 77 passes in a game with 29 points.
Crazy, right?
Yeah. Stafford did a great job, of, like, from an NFL football perspective, of taking what the defense gave him, but he never hit any big plays.
When we come back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning, we're done with Detroit and Minnesota. We move on to Dallas and Washington, as I tell you what Scott was saying off the air when we started the program. We'll be right back here on the Roto Experts. So Scotty had one more addition to his cast of characters at wide receiver he wanted to add, Tony.
Kenny Britt.
One more.
Kenny Britt.
You know, that's crazy when I look at this whole Rams situation. I don't even remember where I put this guy. Kenny Britt. The whole Jared Goff situation. The most simplistic game plan you could imagine until you saw Mike Tolzien last night, where that was pretty
Scott
simplistic.
Tolzien.
I thought he
Scott
played.
Tolzien.
Yeah, Scott Tolzien. I like Kenny Britt. I guess it's New Orleans. Someone's going to catch passes, right? At some point in this game, Goff's going to catch some passes. I got him for 14 fantasy points.
How many do you have Nelson for?
I have him for 12. But if you take Floyd out of the equation, that's going to push him.
Floyd looks like he's going to
push him over
play,
that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that would push him over that.
Yeah, better quarterback situation, too, and the Saints' defense has played better recently.
If you look at what the Saints' defense has done in the last four games, it's been amazing that that's the same team that you saw the first 6 weeks of the season.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Nelson. It's interesting because, like, ESPN hasn't updated their projections, and they say he's not worth a roster spot as the third receiver on offense that begins and ends with David Johnson.
All right.
They have successive 300-yard appearances against them. So it'll be interesting to see that. I agree with David Johnson. To me, he's the second-best back. I think Jay Ajayi is the number one back in fantasy football this week. Mm-hmm. And then David Johnson's right thereafter.
Okay, there you go. The Redskins fell to the Cowboys yesterday, 31-26. Entertaining game for the most part. Dallas was up throughout this game. Fourth quarter finished with a flurry, as they say. Dak Prescott, 195 and 1 through the air, 8 for 39 and 1 on the ground. Zeke Elliott just kept those legs churning, 20 for 97 on the ground with 2 TDs through the air for Dallas. Dez Bryant, 5 for 72. Cole Beasley, 5 for 56. Jason Witten, only 3 for 33 yesterday. Dallas improves to 10-1, Scotty.
Yes. Looks like they're pretty much going to wrap up the NFC East right now.
Potentially the NFC as well, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it looks like they've got a shot at the NFC unless they lose one or two.
They got to lose two.
You look at the schedule. the rest of the way, and it's hard to imagine him. I think naturally maybe they'll lose another, and the team that probably finishes 14-2.
Yeah, I mean, this team is rolling right along right now, obviously. They beat a good Redskins team. Obviously, the defense got shattered yesterday by Dak Prescott.
Much to Josh Norman's chagrin.
That guy is a clown, by the way. I know Dez Bryant's obviously a clown, but, like, so is Josh Norman. I'm sick of it. Like, it's always Odell Beckham's fault. It's always the wide receiver's fault. Like, Josh Norman's a clown.
Yeah, he doesn't. You know, he's a young guy. He doesn't handle himself with too much maturity.
No, he does not. Tony, how impressed are you with the Cowboys at this point?
I'm very impressed by both these teams. And when I watched this game, I left with, man, you don't want to play the Redskins in the playoffs. I thought when you look at the Dallas Cowboys, what you see here is a defense that's not great. But they stopped Washington twice in the red zone, so that was great to see that. Kind of like the New England Patriots, right? You can go up and down on the field on them, but you don't punch it in, and that was the great thing about this Dallas defense. From an offensive standpoint, they seem to lose focus all the time in the second quarter. Like, Ezekiel Elliott had 4 carries, 43 yards, and then in the second quarter, he slowed down, and then they stopped giving the ball, and they throw the ball a ton. I don't think they have to do that, and they get away from that. And I'd like to see a little more Alfred Morris as well and go with that running game. I think when you get a playoff football, you know, to count on Dak Prescott week in, week out to throw the ball around as much, I thought he was amazing yesterday. He changed a lot of plays at the line of scrimmage, which you didn't see from a rookie quarterback. You give him a lot of credit, but I think they get away from the running game too quick in Dallas.
You know, it's interesting, too. This could be a playoff preview of the divisional round.
Sure.
Because Washington could end up as the final wild card. Mm-hmm. And then if they win the wild card game, they would go to Dallas in the second round.
Yeah, a spot that they're obviously comfortable in. I know, Scotty, now you were saying before the show, you're not really worried at all about Dallas. Now, I walked in here, you were in a discussion with our producer, Mike Florio.
Yeah.
And you were saying, Dallas hasn't won anything yet. They haven't been in the playoffs. They're a regular season team. Now, it sounded like, as a Seahawks fan, I don't want to say you were nervous, but you were putting Dallas down for really no reason.
I guess from a Seahawks fan perspective, I don't think any team scares me until they get to the Super Bowl, if they do, against New England. And look, anything can happen in the playoffs. You know, and Dallas has totally earned their record.
Yeah.
I feel like Dallas really hasn't faced a team. It's like, I don't even want to say this because I feel like, why am I discrediting a 10-1 team?
Agree.
It might sound ridiculous.
Right.
But I just feel like they haven't met a team yet, really, that's put up any defensive resistance to them. And I think when that happens in the playoffs, especially if they somehow meet the Giants in the playoffs, it's going to be interesting to see. Plus, you know, you're talking about a quarterback with zero playoff experience.
Sure.
As good as he played in the regular season. You know, this team doesn't have this strikes me as a team that could have a great regular season, but something could happen in the playoffs. You know, when you looked at Carolina last year, they went 15-1, but they didn't go out in the Super Bowl because they had that playoff experience. They, you know, they had lost key games in the playoffs and won key games in the playoffs. Look, anything could happen in the playoffs. I could be wrong here, but, you know, I just feel like in the NFC, like, Seattle is the most complete team on the both sides of the ball. And I think I don't worry about a squad until, like, I could actually see being a little concerned about the Giants in the second round because that could be the divisional and the Giants match up well with them. But Tom Brady's the only quarterback that I think that even with a healthy Legion of Boom, that he could know how to pick that team apart.
Tony?
It's hard to argue, but I've seen a lot of teams do this. Like, we've seen the Patriots, we've seen the Minnesota Vikings go and rack up 14, 15 wins and get beat in the playoffs. So it's not out of the equation with the rookie. But I'll tell you what, I'm not a guy that loves athletes by any stretch of the imagination. I think you don't know a real person when you see them on TV. And I watched a piece yesterday on Dak Prescott. This kid is the real deal, both on and off the field. Like, I was so impressed by the way this kid carries himself. When you talk about all the fame and everything that goes, and we've even had questionable scenarios from Ezekiel Elliott's put himself into this season in just a year in the league. I love what this kid does, and I'm actually rooting for this kid to do well in the National Football League. And as much as we want to give the Dallas Cowboys credit, remember, they tried to go with 3 other people before they gave Dak Prescott this job.
Yeah, and here's the other thing that Tony talks about how he's, you know, he believes in him on and off the field. I agree with that, and I enjoy watching Dak Prescott. And look, it is what it is. Dak Prescott's rookie year kind of reminds me of Russell Wilson's rookie year. You know, where you had this kid where, like, nobody expected him to be the starter, and he just showed this incredible poise and savvy, and he also had a really good running game with him.
Yeah, absolutely. So you're saying that you just expect them to lose in the divisional championship, is what you're saying?
I'm just saying I don't, like, they're 10-1, they deserve it, and I hate to say anything negative about them because No, because I think it's good for football that the Cowboys are good again. I really do. But I just, to Tony's point, I've seen a lot of teams put up tremendous regular season records, and then the playoffs is a different animal. It's like I almost think to myself, and this is just a way of thinking, I could be wrong on this, okay? I almost feel like if Eli Manning gets hot in the playoffs and they somehow walk into Dallas, it wouldn't shock me if they beat Dallas in Dallas.
Would it shock you if Seattle goes to Dallas and loses?
No, it wouldn't shock me, but I think the Seahawks would be favored. I don't think Dallas has faced a team anywhere remotely as good as Seattle, except for the Giants in the first week, and still that was when Dak really had not developed. Ezekiel
right.
Elliott wasn't good, you know, as you pointed out, you know, the one team I really think that could take Seattle out is New England. You look at Seattle, they're the only team besides New England and maybe Denver that has consistently been a championship contender over the last 5 years.
Yeah, you brought the point up earlier in the season.
And you look at coaching, too. It's like Belichick is the best, and Carroll's right up there.
Oh, great. So now we're just going to compare the Seahawks to the Patriots all morning. Fantastic.
No, I'm saying, you know, it has something to do with coaching. I mean,
Carroll's a good coach.
What is Jason Garrett? I don't put him on a level with Carroll and Belichick.
I agree.
And I got Carroll a rung below Belichick.
Right. All right. As long as you have him a rung below, I guess.
Yeah, I'm stupid here.
You never know with you.
Look, it is what it is. You know, if it happened to be the Giants with Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson and whatever, it's just coincidence that they're my favorite team.
Oh, total coincidence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If they're relevant, they're relevant. That's it.
Kirk Cousins yesterday almost threw for 500 yards. And in fact, in just a four-day span,
points.
Kirk Cousins has been incredible. 53 times he attempted passes, 41 of them completed, 449-3, Tony.
Yeah, this, you know what? I was scared of Kirk. I have Kirk Cousins in a league that I needed to win, season-long league. And I was scared because Dallas did a good job at running the ball that I didn't think they'd get enough opportunities. It ended with their first two drives. They drove it into the 10-yard line and came up empty. And I'm like, what the hell? And then they just came out. And I thought for a fantasy perspective, everything worked out perfectly. When Dallas went up 30-19, it was tough for the Redskins to win a game, but I knew that he would just go continue to throw the ball a ton. And Jordan Reed coming back from the locker room after being injured on the shoulder, it was crazy. And they just played catch. Like, Jordan Reed, to me, is the most unstoppable player.
Yeah.
And I know Rob Gronkowski, and I watch him play, but Jordan Reed's more gifted athletically than Rob Gronkowski. And when these two guys get on a roll, it's unstoppable.
Rob Gronkowski is just bigger and larger and like tougher to bring down. It's like, you know, different framework there. But that, what a tremendous touchdown catch towards the end of the game.
Yeah, it was insane.
The other one, like near the one, was like
the one-handed. Yeah,
I mean, the fact that he came back into this game was crazy to me. He was in a sling in the first half, and then Jordan Reed comes back, finishes with 10 for 95 and 2.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Yeah, I think both Jordan Reed and Jimmy Graham are more athletic than Gronk. But Gronk is just like this unmovable, unstoppable force.
Right.
They're different types of players.
I agree.
I get on the king for narratives a lot. But yesterday, there was a narrative that I liked in this game. DeSean Jackson, whenever it's a big game, somehow he shows up every time.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought he would be in line for a big game against Dallas. Dallas was going to be out, two guys in the secondary. Jackson's a capable player, always has had talent. It's just staying on the field, keeping him focused. And I thought yesterday he'd be ready. And he put up a big game, but so did all these wide receivers.
I hate that kind of stuff.
DeSean Jackson was fantastic yesterday.
That's crazy.
Finishing with 118, 4 receptions, and a touchdown. Jamison Crowder playable every week, 8 for 88.
You know, I got to say something about Jamison Crowder. You know, it's like we were talking about all these white wide receivers last week, and it's like Jamison Crowder reminds me of friggin' Wes Welker. He does. It's just like he catches the ball and he somehow scurries for an extra 6 yards when nothing is there. Jamison Crowder, to me, is Wes Welker, reborn.
Tony?
Hey, that's, you know what? The only difference is that Jameson Crowder gets a, he has the ability to get deeper pass patterns as well. Like, you could say that he's, and I hate to say this because Welker was great, and Crowder hasn't done it yet, but Crowder's more of a complete player than Welker.
I agree with that.
I could see that. I was trying to think of like a guy that like scurries underneath, but no, that can beat you deep. And it's like, I can't think of it, but at least from the underneath perspective, he reminds me a lot of Welker because it's like you never knew when the play was going to end with Welker. The same thing with Crowder.
It's crazy. Pierre Garçon is a free agent at the end of the year.
And, he is. 443 for him yesterday.
I'm interested to see if what his value is going forward because you look at him, he's a big dude, and he catches balls that are thrown to him, but he's just the third, fourth guy. We saw him get deep last week and put up a couple of good games, but there's just too many receivers there. He'll always be the odd guy out, and what a job by Vernon Davis. I remember we talked during the week. Someone asked me if Davis would be a good play. I said, nah, he just doesn't get enough targets in that game. But as soon as Reed goes out, right, he just steps right into that role.
Tight end handcuff. How about that?
And Forrest Garçon, that's what he is.
You know, I just popped into my mind. Perfect compliment for Sammy Watkins in Buffalo. You know, Tyrod Taylor needs a reliable guy who can help move the chains.
I don't know. That doesn't do it for me.
You don't need an excited guy in Buffalo. You need a reliable guy.
I think
you already got Sammy Watkins, is the exciting guy.
So Sammy Watkins is never on the field.
I know, but you know Buffalo's going to take it as like, okay, we expect Sammy Watkins to play. You know, who's a good compliment for him?
What's wrong with Robert Woods? Is Pierre Garçon better than Robert Woods? I don't know.
I would say Woods has more upside, but I would from a NFL professional perspective.
Are you an NFL professional?
From a scouting perspective. You know, putting together a team, I would say I would want Garçon to be a guy who I would depend more on.
I don't know. To me, if you're talking about Buffalo, like why not just go get Anquan Boldin then? What's the difference? Anquan Boldin costs you less.
Oh, I would love Boldin, but you know, he's way older than Garçon.
He's
at the end of his career. I feel like Pierre Garçon could start for a team, whereas Boldin is like, you know, third, fourth piece at this point.
Let's see here. So Anquan Boldin is – how old is Anquan Boldin?
I don't know. He's like 37, 38, something
he's
like
37,
that.
He's 37, you think?
Something like that.
He is 36. Yeah, he's 6 years older. Interesting. Yeah, I don't know. Pierre Garçon doesn't do it for me. Like, I know
he doesn't excite anybody, but I you know, he's a nice piece for, I think, a team that would need somebody like that.
He's only 30 years old. It feels like he's been around forever. I don't think he's – I personally don't see him as a good fit in Buffalo, but – whatever.
If they had a three-receiver set of Garçon, Woods, and Watkins, I think that would be pretty good.
Ugh.
He's the best French receiver of all time.
I think that's Haitian. Fair to say. That's fair. He's Haitian?
Yeah. Haitian.
Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't Haitian French?
When he scores a touchdown, he says that they say the Haitian sensation.
Oh.
Yeah.
So creative.
Yeah.
Robert Kelly yesterday had 14 for 37. And at 14 for 37 on the ground, 2 for 5 through the air. Robert Kelly, Tony, he got hurt by this game flow.
Yeah, this is a game where they're going to be behind. He can't be involved in the passing game. They looked a lot better back with Thompson in the backfield in that game yesterday. So he's going to be a game. There's not going to be many times, though, that they're going to be playing from behind this Redskins team. So I wouldn't worry about him. It's just one of those situations when you get involved in the game, you get behind. It'd be the same thing with the Eagles, right? They get behind in the game, and Darren Sproles will be in there over all those other backs. That's what happened yesterday in this contest.
I would say it was part game flow, but it wasn't all game flow. Dallas's front wall, especially the linebackers, played really, really well. They swarmed the run yesterday. They really won the battle in the trenches with the Washington offensive line. There was nowhere to go for Kelly yesterday.
All right. That's fair to say, too. Yeah. That's fair to say, too.
No, I'm saying it was part of what you guys said, but also, you know, when they were in the game earlier, it's just like there was nowhere for him to go.
Yeah, I don't necessarily disagree with you, Scotty, there. Yeah. I think that Robert Kelly next week faces Arizona. I believe another tough spot for him.
Yeah, he's got a tough schedule down the stretch. You know, at least you know looking what teams are rated against the run.
Right.
He couldn't punch it in near the goal line either. You know, you were talking about Dallas's. You know, we were talking about Dallas's goal line defense.
Yep.
You know, they weren't letting Kelly in there. They just you know they got leverage near the goal line and they blasted through. There was nowhere for him to go.
Yeah, I mean the direct snap play was also an idiotic play call.
Yeah, we saw that last night with Frank Gore.
Twice. It was with Frank Gore. We saw Robert Kelly earlier on. Yeah,
and they did it more than once with Gore last night.
Idiotic.
It didn't work either time.
No, it did not. Very stupid. It makes no sense to me. Yes, Tom?
How about the only thing that could make sense is that, like I was saying to myself, that play was so bad.
Yeah.
I hope they run that again and Kelly actually throws the ball, because other than
that, it
makes no sense whatsoever.
Right. Setting up, like, let it to use it to set up a running halfback pass. All right, I can buy that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool. All right, we'll take a break here. When we come back, Colts and the Steelers are next on the list. Last Thursday night game. We talk about it here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. So Scott was just bringing this up as we're coming back here about Cordarrelle Patterson. And Tony, you know how Scott just kind of hates Cordarrelle Patterson?
Yeah.
So he's talking about how this is Cordarrelle Patterson's last chance, basically, in life. And they're never going to trust him again after the penalties yesterday, after the bad penalty yesterday and not really showing up as replacing Stephon Diggs, right? Is that fair to say? I don't want to put words in your mouth.
My thing with Patterson yesterday is there was all this talk this week about how they really need a playmaker to step up in the offense, and he needs to, they need him to do it. And, you know, he like kills a team at the end of the game with another legal formation like Nelson Aguilar. He's proven he's as talented as he is. You can only trust the guy if you can give him a handoff or on a kick return. And, you know, he's still a knucklehead. So, you know, the Vikings are certainly going to, like, look to improve for a guy like that during the offseason, I think.
You know, I think in his role, he's fine, Tony. Like, I don't think he's, like, the worst guy ever.
I don't understand how being a knucklehead is going to cost you time in the NFL. Do I have to go list all the knuckleheads that have played 10 years in the National Football League?
This guy, like, you know, he still never learned to run a route. You know, he made a big mistake yesterday. They could certainly keep him, you know, as a guy who can return kicks and they can hand off to once a game, but that's about it.
Well, he's doing more than that already, so I don't think he's going to take a step backwards. I mean, you talk about decisions. I mean, the Cincinnati Bengals have about three or four guys that have cost them playoff games. Cordarrelle Patterson hasn't, and they keep employing them.
Cordarrelle Patterson has a regular season game. You know, hasn't even had an opportunity to do that in a playoff game. What I'm saying is, you know, I don't think this guy's ever going to amount to anything. You know, they'll have to keep him in the role that he's in. Role that he's in now.
He caught every pass thrown to him yesterday.
But what is that? Well, hold on. What does that mean?
What are his numbers? Yeah.
Wait, Tony. What does that mean? I'm sorry. He's never going to amount to anything. He's already. I mean, he's the third wide receiver on this team. He's already proven to be a volatile punt and kick returner. Like, what do you mean he's never going to amount to anything?
They wanted him to like see if he could reclaim a bigger role.
I don't think that's what they're trying to do either. I think the number one receiver was out.
That's what the talk was, and you know, like. Because, you know, Diggs was out. They wanted him to step forward.
To reclaim his own role? I don't think so.
Like they wanted to see. There was all this talk about they feel he can be a playmaker and they want him to step forward and have a bigger role. And, you know, he proved he wasn't worthy of it, I don't think.
What do you mean? Why did he prove he wasn't worthy of it?
In the clutch, he made a boneheaded mistake.
He lined up in the wrong spot. I get it.
After a few years in the NFL, you should stop doing stuff like that.
So you don't think... Wait a minute. Come on. Jimmy Graham did it last week in Seattle. Jimmy Graham. He's been in the NFL. He's an all-pro tight end. He's one of the best tight ends in football.
Jimmy Graham can also win a game for you. Cordarrelle Patterson.
Cordarrelle Patterson won a game for them last week.
Yeah, with a kick return. That's all ever be is a kick returner.
But I don't understand why you hate Cordarrelle Patterson.
I don't hate him.
Tony, does it sound like he hates him?
It's nothing personal.
Yeah, Cedric Mox.
Cedric
Mox.
Oh, that was idiotic.
Right, 5 years, $20 million, right?
Yes.
Yeah, play me more, and then look what he did, right? Right, Tony?
Well, that's what I'm saying. There's so many of these instances in the NFL. There must be something hostile with you with Patterson.
Yeah, you just have all this hate for this guy.
I'm sure he's a cool guy to hang out with off the field, but, you know, it's...
Are you sure about that?
I just don't think he's ever going to amount to anything where I'm going to want to roster him fantasy-wise.
Well, you know what? Again, he had 5 targets yesterday, caught all 5, obviously only 15 yards.
Yeah.
But that was their
five
offense.
5 catches,
is that
15
his fault?
Yards.
Is that his fault? No, it's the offense's fault.
Well, you know, maybe if you could do something after the catch.
It has nothing to do. No. It has nothing to do with him. It has the offense being ultra conservative, not wanting Sam Bradford to F anything up.
Yeah, you know, but then Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen still put up better numbers than that.
Adam Thielen was also targeted double the amount of times.
Yeah, because Adam Thielen can run a route.
Oh, see, he hates this guy, Tony.
Yeah, I know. Cordarrelle Patterson, for a guy that's not going to make it, he's a free agent next year, and he's already has $10 million in his pocket.
Yeah, that's, well, you know what? He's
damn
good money for a good kick return.
Tony, what do you think is going to happen when Seattle signs Cordarrelle Patterson this offseason?
Why would they do that? They already have Tyler Lockett.
Just asking.
Why would they?
It's ridiculous.
What? Oh, now I'm rooting for it.
Me too.
There's no way they sign with Cordarrelle Patterson.
Yeah, that'd be awesome if they did.
If he does.
Yeah.
Let Lockett be their number
Scott
two.
Would, I think Scott
Kirsten
would go. Be at, he'd be at Modell's getting the shirt.
Agree.
No, I wouldn't. Let the bars be accurate. There's no way Cordarrelle. How would Cordarrelle Patterson wear
his
Seahawks uniform?
His name's Cordarrelle.
Cordarrelle. Cordarrelle. All right. Yeah. Whatever. You know why? He's not going to wear a Seahawks uniform. They don't need him.
Well, maybe
their receiving crew is deep. They have a good kick returner. They don't need him.
Well, maybe they want more. You know, you can never have too much speed.
You're making
right?
no sense.
Why? Well, you can never have too much speed.
You're not making any sense.
I am making
no,
sense.
No, you're not.
Why not?
Why would they sign a kick returner like that when
right.
he's not a Pete Carroll type of guy?
Why is he not a Pete Carroll type of guy?
Carroll doesn't want because you know, Christian Michael, they already got rid of him because he can't handle the fundamentals.
Wait, why are you comparing Cordarrelle Patterson to Christian Michael?
Because
Christian Michael,
let me answer the question. Christian Michael can't handle fundamentals, and neither can Cordarrelle Patterson.
Again, Christian Michael was cut four times. Cordarrelle Patterson's never been cut yet.
Christian Michael was cut this time because he couldn't handle fundamentals. Patterson can't handle fundamentals.
But you only say that because he lined up in the wrong spot, right?
There's no need for him.
Well, why
in
do you,
Seattle? This is a waste of time.
I want to know why you say he doesn't have fundamentals. He lined up in the wrong spot.
He can't run
once.
A route.
I don't agree with that.
I watched the guy. He can't run a route.
I don't think you watch him very closely then. He runs routes fine. He runs the same routes Tyler Lockett runs.
Tyler Lockett's a better receiver than he is.
Is he?
Yes.
What has he done in his career as a receiver?
More than Cordarrelle Patterson has done.
His name's still Cordarrelle.
Cordarrelle.
When do we come back on the Roto Experts? Does he suck?
Yes.
You hate him. You hate this guy.
As an NFL receiver, he sucks.
As an NFL receiver, you hate him.
He sucks.
I've never heard Scott say anyone sucks.
Me either. He's the anti-John Gruden right now.
Virgil Green sucks.
Yeah,
Oh, that's good. Oh, yeah. Should we talk about AJ Derby some more?
What?
Want to talk about AJ Derby?
We'll see what happens with AJ Derby. I picked him up.
Yeah, we know.
Yeah.
We all know.
We know.
Two deep leagues I picked
him
up.
Two leagues now.
Yeah.
We've gone off.
Oh.
Who did you drop for AJ Derby in the other league?
Who did I drop for AJ Derby? Garbage Akeem.
Oh, Akeem Hunt?
Yeah.
You dropped?
Yeah.
That was another guy you were pumped about last week.
Yeah. Didn't happen, though.
Did not happen.
Yeah. Don't start pointing out, my errors here.
You're pointing out Bishop Sankey to me 7 years ago?
No. Is that what you're going to do?
No. I was just making fun of
an
E.J. Derby.
To win the debate?
I'm making fun of E.J. Derby, Scott.
Yeah.
I'm winning the debate because you just, for no reason, say, I hate this guy. He sucks.
He does suck. Look at his numbers.
He's
been an awful NFL receiver for, 3 years now?
Oh, by the way, that's a great stat, my floor. I'm pushing you away for no reason. So you talked about what does Diggsy and Cordarrelle Patterson do after the catch, right?
Yeah.
Right? You're saying all this stuff, how easy to go off the catch. How many yards after the catch do you think Stephon Diggs has this year?
What, total?
Yeah. I'll give you the answer. 269.
Right.
How many yards after the catch do you think Cordarrelle Patterson has this year?
117.
260.
Yeah.
9 yards.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Diggs doesn't do much after the catch. I never said that, but I'd much rather
come
him than Cordarrelle Patterson. Cordarrelle Patterson, you throw him a screen or, throw him a lateral or something like that. He'll get yardage after the
catch. He did have a 22-yard run yesterday, didn't he, Cordarrelle Patterson?
Yeah, I already said that about him. You can hand it off to him once in a while.
So he is talented. There is a spot for Cordarrelle Patterson
here. He's a kick returner and a reverse kind of guy.
So that means he doesn't suck? There's a role for him in the NFL team?
He sucks as a receiver is what I said.
No, you said he just sucks in general.
I said, I didn't say that.
He has no fundamentals.
You didn't listen to anything
I
said.
I said
at the very beginning that this is a guy that's a kick returner and somebody can hand the ball off to. I said at the very beginning.
You said he sucks and...
I said he sucks as a receiver.
You compared him to Christian Michael who's been cut four times.
I talk in terms of grasping the fundamentals of the game.
He obviously has fundamentals of the game.
Right. And he's not going to get on a Pete Carroll roster like that.
I hope he does. I pray for
it. It's not going to happen. It's stupid.
Why is it stupid?
I'm sorry. It's a ridiculous example.
Why?
It was an example.
All I said was I hope.
They don't need him. It's never going to happen.
Embarrassment of riches. You know, it can never too much.
It's never going to happen.
A man can dream, can he?
What?
A man can dream.
Wake up.
Well, I'm not going to wake up. It's like me talking about Bryce Harper to the Yankees. Can't wait until that happens either. Be pumped about that.
Yeah, so that's probably not going to happen either.
Yeah, I feel pretty good
about that. These are Yankee fans who think that Steinbrenner's still alive.
The
Yankees lose players now. They don't gain big name players.
Then you don't know anything about the Yankees or what they're doing if that's what you actually think.
I know what you think.
You have no idea what they're doing if that's what you think.
The Yankee fans naturally think that they're going to ever get every major free agent out there, and it doesn't happen.
No, Yankee fans actually just see the plan and what they're doing.
I mean, how do we know if Bryce Harper is even going to leave Washington?
I didn't say that.
Yeah.
I said there's a very good chance he's a Yankee, though, because the Yankees are getting everybody off the books for 2018 when Bryce Harper's free agent, and they're going to give him $500 million. It's going to be awesome. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll talk the Steelers and the Colts. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. Returning here on the Roto Experts in the Morning, Scott and I have somehow gotten into a Yankee debate in the middle of November. But that's where we are. last night, the final game, guys, the Steelers and the Indianapolis Colts. I'm going to be honest, I went to bed at the end of the third quarter in this one. I'm happy they woke up and I didn't miss anything. Besides one more touchdown, Antonio Brown, who is just a freak. Five catches for Antonio Brown, 91 yards, three touchdowns for him. Le'Veon Bell, 23 for 120. This game pretty much went as we expected for the most part. Darius Green got involved after seeing nothing last week. 2 for 67 on two long passes. Just happy to see him involved. Eli Rogers did nothing. Sammy Coates dropped a couple of passes. You know, same old for the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Indianapolis Colts, though. So I'm sure Scott Tozzi will get killed today with these numbers. 205, a touchdown, two interceptions. And he got killed early in the game. He's obviously very, very nervous, and he screwed up. He took his team to the goal line twice. Could not convert. If he converts one of those times or even both those times, it's obviously a totally different game. Now, he's obviously slow as molasses and he couldn't get around the edge and get into the end zone.
He slipped one time.
He slipped one time as well, 100%. But it is a totally different game if he can go to the end zone. And I did not think Scott Tolzien was like as awful as I expected him to be.
Yeah, he is what I said he was. It's like, you know, this is a guy that threw for nearly 300 yards, one start with Green Bay, and over 300 another. But he had one touchdown and five interceptions in those two games. And we saw two interceptions last night.
In the fourth quarter, touchdown pass. Comeback mode.
My point was is that he could move the team to the point.
Right.
Like a lot of people, you know, not every backup quarterback is Matt Barkley. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Everybody assumes when we go to the backup quarterback that the team's totally going to be bogged down and the offensive guys are going to be irrelevant. Didn't happen. Dante Moncrief still scored last night.
Yep.
T.Y. Hilton put up some good yardage numbers and would have had an even better night had he not dropped a pass that he shouldn't have dropped.
Well, I hadn't gotten hurt the entire second half.
No, I'm saying before he got hurt.
Yes.
You know, there was a big drop.
I know.
And
I know.
Look at those numbers put up without the drop, he got hurt. You know, the team can still move. You know, that's what I thought. You know, people saying, you know, should I bench T.Y. Hilton for, like, you know, John Brown? Come on.
Well, no. I mean, I benched Dante Moncrief yesterday for Cole Beasley.
So I did, too, because he was hurt. And, you know,
correct.
And it was Tony and made some good points about Moncrief on the other day's show.
So Moncrief's finishes 6 for 45 and a touchdown. T.Y. Hilton gets hurt, dropped what was an obvious touchdown, 3 for 54. Then it hurts his back. We'll see what happens there. That means Philip Dorsett will step up. Maybe. 3 for 31.
I doubt it.
Tight end-wise, Dwayne Allen at 5 for 49. Jack Doyle just 2 for 25. Frank Gore, disappointing day, where he only had 15 for 28. Had shots at the goal line, as we talked about a little bit earlier on. Could not convert any of them. Scott, what did you think of the Colts? Tony, what did you think of the Colts' offense yesterday?
I thought they played well, to tell you the truth, with him at quarterback.
Yeah.
They just, the same situation, they got down the goal line, they couldn't punch it in. Gore was ineffective. That really cost the offense some opportunities. Jack Doyle had a couple catches there. Dwayne Allen had a couple catches. Nothing really from the tight ends. But the wide receiver play, Philip Dorsett actually looked good. If Hilton is out for a period of time, Philip Dorsett, that's probably the best game that I've seen him play.
I thought so, too. And if Hilton goes down, are you going to be interested in him going forward?
Yeah, I absolutely would take a chance. You see a lot of times, like Davante Adams, right? Davante Adams last year got put into that role. He failed.
Yep.
Comes back this year and is the most reliable wide receiver on that team.
Yep.
And maybe Philip Dorsett, you know, takes a step back after failing, and he looked good yesterday.
Yeah, and to Tony's point, sometimes these young guys, these young wide receivers, maybe they get in the second half of their rookie year. And like with Parker, he really didn't have a rookie year because he was hurt.
Right.
Most of it.
What does that do with Dorsett?
Yeah. So Dorsett, you know, it could be the same thing.
It's his second year now, though.
Yeah.
It's the second half of his second year.
Yeah. Sometimes these guys
take a while to click. Absolutely.
Take a while to click when the first 2 years.
Absolutely. Yeah. When we come back, I do want to ask both Scott and Tony their thoughts on Ladarius Green, Sammy Coates, and this Pittsburgh offense going forward. We'll also talk about some headlines around the NFL in hour number two. Stick around. The Roto Experts rolls on right after this.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
Hour number two of the Roto Experts is live here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Greg Sussman, Scott Engel, Tony Cincotta. There is no Corey Parson here this morning. He is away for the weekend. He'll be back tomorrow afternoon at 2 p.m. over on rotoexperts.com chatting with you inside our exclusive Edge package. It's available now. It's your playoff push. You can talk to the Fantasy Exec 2 p.m. Eastern tomorrow. Use the code Free Radio when you check out, and you'll be able to talk to Corey one-on-one or one-on-a-few. Also, remember, Corey will be back Sunday morning for our preview show, our Sunday morning game day show hosted by Nando DeFina.
Yeah, and great article for exclusive Edge members right now from Jake Seeley. Not only his defense-adjusted matchup rankings for Week 12, but his total playoff strength of schedule breakdown.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. There you go. Total strength of schedule breakdown from Jake Seeley over on rotoexperts.com. Scotty, Ladarius Green, somebody you picked up a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And you thought it was a big game against Cleveland. Obviously, didn't happen. And yeah. It was shut out, and you're very disappointed. You dropped him, whatever. Last night, he had two receptions, had a bunch of yards, two long passes.
Yeah. Any confidence? I think they overshot him on another, too.
Okay. Any confidence in him going forward, or it was more just, listen, the Colts' secondary is kind of decimated?
Yeah.
What do you think of this Ladarius Green performance? Is there anything we could build upon?
I think Ladarius Green eventually going to be involved, but right now it's like, you know, I'm in my fantasy playoffs, and I want to trim my unpredictability as much as I can. I feel like with all these Steeler pass catchers outside of Antonio Brown, it's just like I'm rolling the dice too much every week.
I think it makes sense. I think it makes sense. I
feel like it's almost become like an Arizona situation outside of Larry
receivers.
Fitzgerald.
Right. It's a good point. It's a good comparison. But the tight ends are just really, really... It's hard. You know, it's just hard to find a tight end, and that's why people jump on a guy like Ladarius Green. I mean, I did it 2 weeks ago just like you did, Scott. You're always just trying to find these tight ends, Tone, and you hope, and it very rarely comes up gold.
Yeah, with all due respect, though, I got to ask the question.
Please do.
I wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't.
Yes.
You want to trim your unpredictability, but you picked up A.J. Derby twice.
Yeah, in a very deep league, and... You know, if he's not going to start for me, so yeah, I'm taking a zero dollar.
I would say that he was.
I'm
just saying I'm thinking that's unpredictability right there.
Yeah, but I feel like Ladarius Green didn't do it against Cleveland, so I'm already done with Ladarius Green. If AJ Derby does nothing this week or next week, he's gone too. These are end of my bench flyers. You know, Green.
You sound like you sound like the unstable Greg Sussman. Don't you kill Sussman for picking up guys and cutting them week after week?
No, because when I do that to Greg, you know, it's early in the season. For me, I have a different mentality later in the season. You know, I feel like you know, now it's a very important time of year. You know, I'm talking about Scott Fishbowl or something, or Greenwich Street Tavern League, where I have a spot at the end of my roster where there's like absolutely no one out there, and I say, okay, I'll take a flyer.
Greg, it sounds like
it's exactly what he's doing. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's okay.
All right.
It's okay. We don't have to see it the same way.
No, we absolutely don't. Yeah. Tony, do you have any love or interest in Ladarius Green, or you agree with Scott that it's like Larry Fitzgerald, and everybody else situation in Arizona?
I believe that if you're 14 team league, 12 team league, if you don't have a capable tight end, he'd come into play. But the bottom line is he's never going to be more than the third option in that offense, right? Maybe the fourth option in some cases there. And you're going to see what you did yesterday. We're going to see a couple big plays, maybe get a ball near the goal line. He's not going to be consistent. So if you have a tight end situation where you're basically trotting out a guy from week to week that's putting up some okay numbers, I think the upside's there. I just don't think you're going to get any consistent numbers from him.
Yeah, he hasn't got a lot of snaps yet either.
No, he doesn't. The snaps, are increasing, though. So that's why I wanted to ask you guys the question if the flyer was worth it. No interest there. I am happy, though, I did not start Jack Doyle this week. I'm going with Bigfoot. I'm going with Jared Cook Monday night. Yeah, see what happens.
It already looks like, you know, you feel better about
it. I do.
Doyle's done nothing, and at least Cook has done something.
Well, Doyle's done nothing, and I still have a chance of Cook doing something.
Yeah.
So,
you know, that's the difference between Green and Derby for me. I've already seen Green do nothing.
Right.
And, like, you know, Derby, you know, he might get an increased snap count. He might do something. And, you know, if he doesn't, then he goes the same way as Green.
Eli Rogers yesterday didn't do anything either. I said Sammy Coates kind of dropped passes. This offense, Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, and nobody else. And that's what's going to stay in Pittsburgh. So don't – I'm kind of sick of trying to think anything else is going to happen here.
I think, though, when you look at it, though, they've played Cleveland. They've played Indianapolis without luck. So they had two games where they didn't need a lot of offense.
Okay.
I think if you get into a game where a team could fight back, that Eli Rogers will be a guy that will be viable.
So you're saying Eli Rogers is dropped somewhere this week, you pick him up?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think if they get a game where they can play a team, they could put up some points, that he'll be able to get in there, and we'll get Ben Roethlisberger thrown around 40 times a game.
That's a good point, because they got up last night, and he didn't have to throw the ball. Yeah, they weren't in a situation where they had to throw the
ball.
But
they did still throw it, right? Antonio Brown caught 3 touchdowns last night.
No, I would say, you know, when they
but he only had 5 catches, right?
Yeah.
I mean, not everybody's Antonio Brown.
Right,
it was efficiency.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
Roethlisberger didn't throw a lot last night.
Yeah, absolutely. You're right.
Yeah.
All right, so any more takeaways, Tony, finally, from this Turkey Bowl day or Turkey Day?
No, I think the biggest thing is the injury on T.Y. Hilton and what that'll do the offense going forward in Indianapolis. If we get an emergence of Philip Dorsett in that offense, Andrew Luck comes back there from the Washington side. I think everything stands as long as Jordan Reed's a healthy. Dallas, nothing changed there. I think Detroit, Minnesota, it's the same thing. I think the biggest thing is the Indianapolis game coming out with the injury to T.Y. Hilton when you're talking at week 12 and week 13.
Scotty?
For me, it's, you know, it's Andrew Luck. Like, you know, this guy has been getting hit more than anybody else in the NFL. You know, you're heading towards your fantasy playoffs. I hope you have another good alternative, because I don't trust that guy to stay healthy.
All right, there you go. Let's go around the NFL here with some news and notes from yesterday. And it starts out with what's going on in New England, Tony. And Rob Gronkowski, again, with a limited practice. Martellus Bennett went from a limited practice to not practicing yesterday. And then Tom Brady, again for the second day in a row, didn't practice due to a knee. What should we be concerned about, and what shouldn't we be concerned about?
I think Gronkowski's going to be out from everything I read. I think Martellus Bennett's going to play.
Okay.
I'm a little concerned about this Tom Brady situation. If you look what happened, Cam Chancellor, of course, took a cheap shot at him, which is the bar on course for the Seattle Seahawks defense. And he was able to stay in that game, but missing the 2 days of practice really concerns me. If he's out again today, I'm playing a guy that basically had Stafford as backup quarterback, so he's already played.
Right.
I think you better have something ready for Sunday, just in case. I don't think it's out of the question that you could see him miss that game.
Scotty, you know, you see...
I have to ask Dr. A about that today.
On the Old School Fantasy Hour, coming up at 1 p.m. Eastern.
120
here today. By the
way, the third string tight end for the cheating Patriots is Matt Lindell.
Okay.
Yeah.
You're not going to pick that guy
up,
though.
I couldn't let Tony get away with that thing.
The reason I'm worried, speaking of the third string tight end, so Gronk, as Tony says, when he's reading, he thinks he's going to be out, although he has been practicing all week long in limited fashion. Now, Martellus Bennett practiced on Wednesday and didn't practice Thursday. And I don't know if that was just a rest day or whatnot, but that would make me very, very nervous.
Yeah, it definitely is something to watch, but I don't know. It just seemed like that you were in there, unless you got hurt at practice, they on pads. It could be just a rest day for a big guy that plays tight end. Probably ate a lot of turkey.
He might have ate a lot of turkey. Yeah, maybe he wants to go hang out with his brother, you know, something like that. And then Tom, when it comes to Tom Brady, did not practice again. Obviously, he is always limited in practice with the shoulder. But now that it's the knee injury, this doesn't sound good. He's got to practice today. Not that he has to practice to play, but to ease me, I would need to see Tom Brady practice today.
It makes no sense for a quarterback to miss 3 days of practice because that's the one position where if you're practicing anything, you want the timing to be down,
right.
and that's the thing there. And you can put him in the practice. He's not going to get hit. They all wear a red shirt.
Correct.
Nobody hits the quarterback. They
Correct.
Don't hit there. So this is bigger to me than people are putting out there, and I want to see him play this week. I think it's a good matchup from a daily fantasy perspective, and it's never a bad choice to use Tom Brady. But I'm definitely hesitant about using him this week.
What do you think this does to the Patriots' skill position player, Scott, if there's no Brady and there's no Gronk?
Well, if there's no Brady, is Garoppolo ready to play again?
Oh, yeah, he's been the backup for weeks.
I think, again, you go to the backup quarterback, if you're not going to the third string guy, we've already seen can't do anything with
he's
the
offense.
He's
on the IR.
Yeah, I think they're still relevant. It's, Edelman will catch a lot of high percentage passes. You got some other guys in there. Hogan's going to be back this week, too.
Maybe.
Malcolm Mitchell. I think it bodes for a lot of Edelman, though.
So essentially what it sounds like you're saying, nothing changes.
I think you downgrade Edelman, but I think he's still very useful.
Okay. So no Gronk, potentially no Bennett, potentially no Brady. Good day for Edelman, which I think we've come to expect here at this point. Over to the Cincinnati Bengals, Brandon LaFell, good to go. He and Tyler Boyd are going to be the starters for Cincinnati here against Baltimore. Have you kind of decided, Scotty, now we're all the way through the week here on Friday, and when we come back after the break, we'll start going through every game and deciding what we want to do. But have we kind of decided which way, if you had to choose one between LaFell and Boyd, which way you want to go?
I think I'm leaning towards Boyd.
Okay.
I think, as I said earlier in the week, we've already seen what we get from LaFell, and it's kind of mediocre. Boyd's got some upside. I can't trust either one of these guys, but I feel like, let's see what we can get with Boyd here. He's a talented kid. I feel like he's more talented than LaFell.
Tony, have you decided which way you would like to go?
Yeah, I'd like to go nothing. How about that?
Yeah,
I like neither of these guys.
There we go.
Basically, we got a team with an 18 total in this game with the injuries here, and I don't like either of these guys. But if I'm going to pick one, I'm going to take the I'm going to take the more polished receiver there. I think Tyler Boyd does have more upside than Brandon LaFell, but I'll take LaFell. He's been in the offense. He's familiar with Andy Dalton. I would go that route there, and I'm looking at like 10, 12 fantasy points. Scotty wasn't excited about Marvin Jones yesterday. I think this is very similar to what we get from these two guys.
In Buffalo, LeSean McCoy, after the surgery, he did practice yesterday. He wore a wrap over his thumb, but didn't catch any passes, but it looks like he's going to play. Mike Gillisley did not practice due to a hamstring injury, which he aggravated on Wednesday. We'll see what goes on in practice today for him. And then Sammy Watkins once again practiced.
Jonathan Williams is the third string guy there.
He is. Yep. Sammy Watkins did practice. And we had a big debate yesterday, Scott, about Sammy Watkins going forward. And our poll question yesterday was, does Sammy Watkins have a better chance of helping your team winning a championship or hurting your team?
Yeah, I was here. For
that was that was 2 days ago. That was 2 days ago now. He did practice yesterday. It's clear he's going to either play this week or next week. Would you play him this week?
No, and especially after hearing what Dr. A said the other day that he still might be himself for a few weeks.
Okay.
That Rex Ryan pushes his guys before they're ready. I can't feel like you'd come. This is too important of a week for me to feel comfortable using Watkins.
All right, fair enough. And then finally, Darren Sproles practiced in full yesterday, Tony, and Ryan Matthews did not, although the Philadelphia Daily News reported that he expects to play on Monday night.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, the Darren Sproles news is good. I think he's become a guy that you'll be able to use out of that backfield in that contest because they're going to throw the ball against this Green Bay secondary. I'll tell you right now, I'm starting to like Jordan Matthews more and more in this game. And from a daily fantasy perspective, you don't get Monday night in a lot of the tournaments out there. They close it down on Sunday night so you can reinvest your money on Monday. But if you're playing in there, don't lose sight of Matthews. He's $5,000 on DraftKings. Put him in the lineup this week and go from there. Get him on the cheap.
All right, there you go. When we come back, we're going to go game-by-game preview and predictions here on the Roto Experts in the morning. Tony Zicata, Scott Angle, Greg Sussman, roll until 10 a.m. Eastern Time. Stick around. We'll be right back. We are back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Greg Sussman, Scott Engel, Corey Parson is not here. Tony Sakata is. Coming up next hour is Mike Lying. We'll also do a little NBA preview with Tony. You're going to tell me it's a big night in the NBA, Tony. I want to win some money tonight.
Yeah, we got to get it done tonight, right? We had a night off, so we come back refreshed for the NBA. And on a Friday, everybody didn't play. No back-to-backs. We shouldn't have to worry about guys sitting out of games tonight.
Is every team playing tonight?
I didn't see
2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. Every team is in action in the NBA tonight. This is a full 15-game slate.
Are we scared?
I am, to be honest with you. I am a little scared.
You got a lot of research to do today.
I do.
Yeah, it'll be a full day, and I'm actually going to the movies today, too.
What are you seeing?
I don't know. My kids told me some movie that's out there that they want to see.
Is it about Fantastic Beasts?
Yeah, that's it. That's it. Yeah,
I knew
that looks interesting, actually.
Yeah, were you a Harry Potter fan, Scott?
No, but it just looks like an interesting movie. I also want to see Allied, that Brad Pitt movie. You know?
Yeah, I think
it looks interesting, and I also want to see Bad Santa too because I love the first one.
Oh, yeah, you've been talking about that for like a month.
Yeah.
You've been pretty pumped for that.
You know what? I can't get anybody to go see it with me except for Bavona because
Right. Everybody
assumes like a comedy sequel is not going to be good.
I get it. Like, I get the reasoning there.
Yeah.
We'll see. Let's go game by game.
For all the people, Black Friday, the Yankees have a tickets on sale today.
Really?
For people on Black Friday. Yeah, yeah. If you use a MasterCard, they actually have, you can buy two and get two free for select games in April.
How about that?
How about that?
Yankees fans. How about that? Go get it done.
Yeah, I'm okay. All right, let's go around the NFL here. Let's go around the NFL here, make some predictions for the game on Sunday, what you're looking for from a fantasy perspective, what you like, what you don't like, and what you think. We have two of you guys, so I'm each going to give you a team, and you give me what you're looking for from that side of things. Scotty, the Giants and the Browns, what are you looking for from the Giants side of things?
I'm looking for everything from the Giants because the Browns have just been consistently bad against everything fantasy-wise throughout the season. If you're struggling for some tight end help, you know, the Browns have been so bad that I even like Will Tye this week. Rashad Jennings has played well the last two games. I think you can roll him out as a flex. I think you like Sterling Shepard here, and if you're in a large league and you're desperate for some help, hey, why not look at Victor Cruz? To me, it's all Giants this week.
All Giants, all right. What about the Cleveland Browns this week, Tony, with Josh McCown as a starting quarterback?
Yeah, team total is 18.5. The one thing that you look at if you try to pick on this Giants defense is the secondary, right? You try to go against the secondary because their defensive line is stout. You can't run the ball against them. So Terrell Pryor will get double-digit targets. I think Corey Coleman will get double-digit targets. And I think they can get you 12, 13 fantasy points. So what that tells me is there's not a lot of upside, but don't ignore them if you're in a situation where you need a wide receiver three or flex in a deeper league. I think they're there. Isaiah Crowell, Duke Johnson, I'm at the point where I hope they get double-digit points.
Yeah, and what Tony just said, if they're going to try to attack the secondary, Janoris Jenkins has played well, and Landon Collins is obviously playing outstanding. Makes me love the Giants' defense for possible turnovers if Josh McCown's going to try and test that secondary.
All right, there you go. Make your prediction, Scott Engel.
I'm going to say Giants 23, Cleveland 10.
Tony?
Giants 27, the Cleveland Browns 13.
Right. Actually, I'm going to change that to 28 to 10.
All right, appreciate that change there.
I like it. You're on. Scott's very thorough.
He is. He absolutely is.
Thanks. Working with you guys, I have to.
Thank you very much.
Got to keep the pace.
Thank you.
It's like you guys keep me on my toes every morning because I'm like, if I got to match them, you know what I'm saying? It's like playing for a good football team and like, you know, everybody's like on this high level and like, I can't be Cordarrelle Patterson and not execute the fundamentals for this squad.
Oh, don't kill poor Cordarrelle, man. Tennessee and Chicago. I believe Matt Barkley gets the start against Marcus Mariota. Chicago, what are you looking for there, Tone?
I'm looking for a white flag, and I think that will be needed. But here, realistically, though, they have a team total, again, of 18.5. Jordan Howard is going to get the ball early and often in this game as they try to keep it close. I think you're really going to like him this week, and he could get you anywhere from 13 to 19 fantasy points in PPR leagues. I think he gets 20-plus touches in this game, and Howard's a guy I do like. Now, the two wide receivers, Cameron Meredith, Marquise Wilson, Eddie Royals missed practice this week. He might not be ready to go. So we got Meredith and Marquise Wilson there. You could pick Meredith. I don't like either of these guys, and I think it's a reach on either of them. But Jordan Howard's the one guy for me.
What about from Tennessee, Scott?
Well, obviously you like DeMarco Murray. I really like Mariota. And, you know, his wide receivers, Chicago allows 26.6 fantasy points per game. You know, this team can dominate time of possession, you know, with a lot of Murray late, but a lot of easy passing early. I like Rishard Matthews again. I feel like you can, if a deeper league, you might be able to roll out Tajay Sharp. You know, I have Marcus Mariota in my top five in my my quarterback ranks on rotoexperts.com right now.
Okay.
This week.
Let's hear your prediction, please. Scott?
I am going to say Tennessee 31, Chicago 10.
Tony?
I will go 31 for Tennessee. For Chicago, I will go 10.
All right. There you go. Next game. Next game on the docket. That is the Jacksonville Jaguars headed to Buffalo to face the Bills. What do you like from the Jacksonville perspective, Scott?
From the Jacksonville perspective, I like the fact that, you know, they have volume there. But Buffalo allows only 15.8 fantasy points per game to opposing quarterbacks, though. So not something like they're also tough on the wide receivers. They're in the top 10, you know, as far as wide receivers. So Allen Robinson, I think, you know, he can get another touchdown this week, but there's not a lot to like from that perspective. But I do like Chris Ivory just for workload because T.J. Yeldon's looking very iffy for this game. So I think you know, he gets a lot of runs and he gets to catch the ball out of the backfield. But I think this can be something of a low-scoring game where I'm not expecting too much from Jacksonville.
Tony, what about from Buffalo?
This is a game where I think that you can ignore from a fantasy perspective. LeSean McCoy, if you've got him on your season-long roster, you have to play him. But I'm concerned. I mean, we're talking about wrapping the thumb. He came out of the game in that game, didn't play the rest of the game. Mike Gillisley, of course, got some sort of mysterious injury here. So this is a situation at running back I'd like to avoid. I think if you own McCoy, you have to play him. But I'm not looking for a big game. Jacksonville's defense is not terrible by any stretch of the imagination. They've got better each and every week. They got a lot of young players over there on that defense, and they seem to get better. And then you look at the wide receivers. Sammy Watkins and this injury and not knowing what's going to be there, there's no way I'm putting him into my lineup.
Okay.
You got Woods, who's hurt. Percy Harvin, I'm not going with. Who else do you want to talk about? Marquise Goodwin? Forget about that.
Forget about it.
There's nothing here to like.
Mm-hmm. Nothing here to like. Then make your prediction, please, Coney.
I am going to go with the Buffalo Bills to be 24, the Jacksonville Jaguars, as they painfully do each and every week, 20.
Scotty.
Buffalo 20, Jacksonville 16.
Hey, nothing so crazy quite yet.
Yeah.
Nothing so crazy. Okay. Continuing on as we go around the NFL. Up next, the Cincinnati Bengals travel to Baltimore to face the Baltimore Ravens. Scott Angle, what do you like from the Cincinnati perspective without A.J. Green?
See, Baltimore gives up a lot of big plays on defense, but now I feel like Cincinnati can't exploit it. Buffalo's also tough on running backs. They're tied for best in points per game to running backs, 12.7. So Jeremy Hill is going to have to work really hard for his yardage. And that's going to set up Andy Dalton to face like a lot of third and longs. And he doesn't have A.J. Green. It could be a long day for Andy Dalton, though. But I don't like anybody but Tyler Eifert, really, possibly, to catch a touchdown pass here for the Bengals. I'm not liking the Bengals this week. I think Baltimore's defense is actually a pretty good play.
Tony.
You know, it's crazy with this Baltimore offense because we're going to get into the debate that everybody gets into every week. Everybody wants to put Kenneth Dixon versus Terrence West. And every week it's Terrence West, but everybody wants to stay with Ken. It's Terrence West. Play him this week and don't worry about it, all right?
Right, Tony. And Tony, both fantasy players always want, but they don't get.
Yeah.
Right?
Right. So, but both these guys are going to come a little bit under the radar because they don't get the ball enough and you just don't get enough carries. So you're looking at basically 12, 13 fantasy points for Terrence West in this game. Their team total's low for 22 points in this one. Dixon will catch some balls out of the backfield. And, of course, his price on the DFS sites is nice at $3,800, so I understand why I get lured into that. But I avoid both these guys. Steve Smith, I prefer the wide receiver, but I think he only delivers like 13, 14 points.
Okay.
And Mike Wallace, you can put in somewhere 10 to 12 points in that contest. And it's a game that I'm not in love with. I got Cincinnati at 21, and I have I have the Baltimore Ravens at 21, and Cincinnati I have at 13.
Prediction time, Scott Angle.
You know, it's interesting because since 2012, Baltimore is 6-2 against the rest of the division and 1-5 against Cincinnati. Harbaugh was saying, this is a team we need to learn how to beat. And I think they do it this week, 23-21.
Tony?
I actually have the 21 for the Baltimore Ravens, 13 for the Bengals.
Okay. Continuing on, the Arizona Cardinals travel to Atlanta to face off against the Atlanta Falcons. First place Falcons, under 500 Cardinals. Falcons are 5-point favorites. Tony, what do you like from the Atlanta perspective?
From the Atlanta side, it's good. The, of course, Patrick Patterson, people are going to talk about Peterson all the time.
Yeah.
Julio Jones is about 7 inches taller than this guy, right?
Yep.
he's going to be a guy that's dominating in this matchup. So if you're playing daily fantasy, you don't have to ignore him. The Falcons have a 28-team total. They bring back Tevin Coleman to the mix this week. I think you could put him out there immediately in this game against Arizona. I think they run the ball a lot in this contest. So I think you're going to get over 10 touches, both from Coleman. Devonta Freeman get 15 or 16 touches in this game. I think both of them have big games. I also like Mohamed Sanu against the other cornerback in this one there. I like this Atlanta team, and Matt Ryan, you could put right up there at the top of the quarterback rankings. I think he comes right around 20, 21 points.
Scotty.
Interesting, on Fantasy Pros, I don't think Matty Ryan's even in like the top 10 this week overall, because people looking at a lot of the numbers. I love what Tony said about Julio Jones versus Patrick Peterson, because people always say, you know, I'm worried about the defensive back. You know, I think the defensive back should be very worried about the wide receiver. You know, people always assume it's the other way around, that, you know, the offensive player should be worried about. It's a good point by Tony there. Atlanta is worst against opposing quarterbacks, so you kind of like Carson Palmer this week. Larry Fitzgerald, you know, he's the one guy who continues to produce. He's definitely like top 7 this week. You guys have talked me into J.J. Nelson. So there's something to be said for Arizona offensively this week.
All right, prediction please. Arizona and Atlanta. Scott.
I'm going to go Atlanta 34, Arizona 24.
Tony.
Atlanta 31, Arizona 28.
All right, there you go. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll continue around the NFL, including getting to the Rams and the Saints, the Niners and the Dolphins, Chargers and Texans. So much more to come here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Returning here on the Roto Experts, Scott Angle, Greg Sussman, Tony Zuccato with you on a Friday morning. It's Mike Lyon coming up next hour. I'm excited to get back in the saddle here and take down Scott, who is undefeated on the new and improved Roto Experts. Scott, you got a new opponent, and I'll take you down.
By the way, what Tony was talking about, Patrick Peterson last faced Julio Jones in 2014 and said, told ESPN, it is definitely one of the worst games of my young NFL career. Jones caught 10 passes for 189 yards and a touchdown as Atlanta beat Arizona 29-18.
There you go. Let's continue on with the Saints and the Rams. The Saints are at home, 7-point favorites over the Rams. Scotty, what do you like from the Saints this week?
What do I like from the Saints this week? The fact that they're at home is certainly for sure. Los Angeles actually like pretty good against opposing quarterbacks, 14.9 fantasy points per game, but I think I have to ignore that here. This is a very good defensive line, obviously, with the Rams, but, you know, with their offense, I think that defense is going to spend too much time on the field, and, you know, the Saints are pretty much going to have their way offensively. Ingram should play, but I like Hightower more for his versatility. Brandon Cooks is a must-start. You got to continue to maintain Michael confidence in Michael Thomas as least the wide receiver too. And you know, Willie Snead always has a shot for a touchdown. I'd stay far away from Colby Fleener.
There you go. Tony, the Rams, Jared Goff says he thinks they're going to let him throw the ball deeper more this upcoming week. What say you?
I think they're going to have to, but deeper is basically when he threw it 5 yards. Is my Kenny Britt's a guy that I'll pencil in somewhere between 9 and 14 points in a PPR league. There'll be some misses there. I think you get to see a steady dose of Todd Gurley, and I think he has an opportunity in this game. I would put him anywhere from 14 to 17 fantasy points in this one. And the one guy that I do like is a guy that Scotty likes a lot most weeks is Lance Kendricks. I think he has a good matchup against the Saints, and this one could get you double-digit fantasy points.
All right, make your prediction here, Tony.
I like the Saints to put up 31 points and the Rams to put up 10.
Scotty.
Saints 24, Rams 17.
You get a close one for you, Scotty. All right.
Well, I think Gurley's going to have a good game. He could score 2 touchdowns here.
Okay. 49ers travel to Miami to face the Dolphins. 6-4. Adam Gase has these Dolphins in the playoff hunt in a major, major way. Tony, what do you like from the Miami Dolphins here?
I like a lot. I like a real lot in this game. I like Ryan Tannehill as well. The San Francisco 49ers, they're terrible against the run, but don't sleep on the quarterback situation. They've let up 2 touchdown passes in every contest except one, and that will get you numbers there. Jay Ajayi, to me, is the number one running back this week in fantasy football against the San Francisco 49ers, who just can't stop the run. I like Devontae Parker in a daily fantasy perspective because he's the guy that can get into the end zone. I talked about the 2 touchdowns. He's the guy that gets in the end zone. I like Parker a lot this week. I think you're going to get a steady play from Jarvis Landry. But all three of those guys I really love, and you can actually put in Ryan Tannehill if you have a quarterback situation. Very Phillip Rivers, a guy everybody loves, right? And we all play him each and every week, and he throws the ball a ton. I like Tannehill to outperform Phillip Rivers this week.
Alrighty, here from the 49ers perspective, Colin Kaepernick and crew, what do you think here?
Not thinking too much. You know, but Kaepernick, look, the rushing yardage is always there. He's a top 15 start, maybe, just because of the floor. Other than that, Carlos Hyde, you hope he catches some passes if they play catch-up, but they might pull him out for Sean Drone. You know, I really think Miami has too much momentum here at home. I think this is just going to be the embarrassment of the week.
Embarrassment of the week. Yeah. And you hate the Dolphins.
Yeah, but, you know, I'm objective about it. You know, the Dolphins are playing very, very good. You know, it's based on defense and a running game, and that sets up everything else. And this is a team that they can easily run on. You know, Jay Ajayi, you know, might break Ricky Williams' franchise record for rushing in one game.
All right, make your prediction here, Scott, then.
I'm going to say Miami 37, San Francisco 13.
All right, and Tony?
I am going to go with the Miami Dolphins 34, San Francisco 21.
Houston and San Diego. The Chargers going to Houston as a 1.5-point favorite, which is interesting. We talked a little about that earlier in the week. Scotty, San Diego is 4-6, have only one win away from Qualcomm. What do you think of the Chargers in this game?
I think I like Melvin Gordon. You know, Houston has been giving up a lot of rushing touchdowns all year, averaging 20.8 fantasy points per game against opposing running backs. So I think you got to like Gordon this week. You know, there's one guy I like from that team. And you know, Travis Benjamin comes back. I'm not expecting a lot, but there's always a possibility of a big play. Tyrell Williams should be reliable. Antonio Gates is always in the mix for a touchdown. I don't think he had a great game from Phillip Rivers, but you know, you can still start him.
Tony, other side of things, the Houston Texans. Brock Osweiler didn't look like Matt Barkley last week, which is good. Didn't get left in Mexico, which is even better. What do you think of Brock Osweiler?
I like DeAndre Hopkins in this matchup against the San Diego secondary, which has struggled this year. I think he's a guy that we've forgotten about fantasy-wise, but I think he can put up 17 fantasy points in this one. Lamar Miller played with a shoulder injury last week and looked good. I think he goes back to it, and I think he can get, in a PPR league, 12 to 15 fantasy points. And I don't know why people in the daily fantasy industry can't raise the price of C.J. Fedorkiewicz.
Fedorkiewicz?
He's got like a 10.
Fedorkiewicz. Sorry.
He's Polish. Are you okay?
Yes.
You want me to just call him the Pollock?
Yeah, that'd work.
Well, we know he had he's $3,300, and he gets more targets than any other tight end in football in the last 3 weeks. I like it for double-digit fantasy points.
All righty. Let's make a prediction here between Houston and San Diego. I'm interested to hear your guys' predictions. Scott, I'm going to start with you.
I'm going to say Houston 27, San Diego 24.
Houston pulls off technically the upset. Tony.
They're the better team.
San Diego
24-23.
Ooh, 23-23. That's the upset. See, Houston's a better team record-wise than playing at home.
It's not an upset because San Diego's favored in the game.
Why is San Diego favored?
I don't know. I'm just telling you that it is. San Diego's favored. That's why I kind of opened up.
No respect for the Texans. Wow.
No, because the Texans stink. Stink!
San Diego's 4-6, though.
The Seahawks travel to Tampa Bay to face the Buccaneers. Scott, your Seattle Seahawks, 7-2-1 on the year against Corey's Jameis Winston Bucks. What are you thinking?
I think, you know, this game could be a shootout here. Love Russell Wilson this week. Tampa Bay allowing 18.8 fantasy points per game to quarterbacks and 26 fantasy points per game to wide receivers. I like Wilson and Graham's top start at the position, I think, this week. I think Baldwin has another good game.
Dougie Fresh.
Maybe even Lockett gets involved in the mix.
Oh, Tyler Lockett,
not
really?
I would start him, but the Tampa Bay's been awful against wide receivers all year long.
Well, Tampa Bay's secondary's been awful all year long. Yeah. What about the Tampa side of things here, Tony, against Seattle and their good defense?
Yeah, that's one of the things I'm worried about, people overrating this defense. Mike Evans is still going to get a ton of targets. He's still going to put up fantasy points. And I think it'll come around 20 fantasy points in this contest. Doug Martin in that passing game, he's the only back, so he'll get volume. And so I think he's going to be playable in that game. And we have seen some people with some success running the ball. I don't expect an abundance there, but I think if you're looking at a 12-team league, 24 running back, he's definitely going to get enough touches that he's going to be in the top 24 at the end. And then if you're playing in daily fantasy, they're going to throw the ball a lot. Adam Humphries is a guy that I think you could put in if you needed a cheap play or a punt play there.
Okay.
And then other than that, I think it all drops off the table.
Yeah, you can't ignore the fact that the Seahawks are going to be bailed out. They're starting free safety and they're starting quarterback. You know, when you don't have Earl Thomas, you're going to be able to throw in the team.
All right. And make your prediction here, Scott Angle, your Seattle Seahawks in Tampa Bay.
Seattle 30, Tampa Bay 24.
Okay. Tony?
Seattle 31, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers 23.
All right.
Battle of the 1976 expansion teams, Tony.
Really? So you're going back to the historic year, the 200th anniversary of the United States of America.
Yes. Wow. That was the year that both teams came into the league, same year.
So this is...
Yeah.
So, all right. So this is the 200... So this year was the 240th anniversary then, right, this year, Tony?
Yeah, the quick math. That's very good.
240th year, or in our final year in the Republic. The Carolina Panthers go into Oakland to face the Raiders. Raiders are in first place at home. I know they were in Mexico City last week, but they have not been at a true away game in quite a while. In fact, since they were in Tampa Bay, so they're home against the Broncos, beat them. In Mexico, against the Texans, beat them. Now, home against the Panthers this week, home against Buffalo next week. So a lot of home cooking here for the Oakland Raiders. This week, they face Carolina. Tony, what do you think of the Raiders this week?
I love them. I actually, and a lot of it is because of the Carolina defense. Beat up in this contest. Their secondary is terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't expect him to play in this one. So I really like Carr as my number one quarterback this week. I'm going to pair him with Amari Cooper. I'm a little hesitant on Crabtree last week. Of course, he had a bad game. He had a little banged up in practice this week, so I'm a little hesitant on him. And Latavius Murray is interesting to me because I think from a season-long perspective, you can play him in the game and he'll have an opportunity to get into the end zone. But he's Latavius Murray. He's workmanlike. He's never going to have a huge game, but he's going to do enough to be fantasy-worthy. I put him around 14, 16 fantasy points. To me, though, Amari Cooper and the quarterback Carr are two guys that step off the table.
Other side of things, Carolina Panthers here, Scott Angle.
I don't trust Cam Newton. The Oakland defense has played better lately. And, they allow 18.2 points per game to opposing fantasy quarterbacks. But I just can't trust Cam. I do like Greg Olsen to bounce back.
Okay.
You know, Oakland is like eighth worst against tight ends, 9.3 fantasy points per game allowed. But, you know, Oakland's rolling. And everybody thinks that Carolina is like going to pull this run the table thing off again, like they get caught in the second half. I think it ends here. I don't think Cam's going to have a great game. I'm not crazy about Kelvin Benjamin. You know, Jonathan Stewart is unreliable. The only guy I really like is Greg Olsen.
All right, make your prediction then, Scotty.
I'm going to say Oakland 27, Carolina 17.
Okay. Finally here, to wrap up the 4 o'clock games.
You know Tony's prediction?
Oh, I'm sorry, Tony. I apologize. Tony.
Oakland 31, Carolina 21.
All right, 31-21. I got so confused. Let's take a break here. Then we got two more games to go, including the final 4 o'clock game, the Jets and the Pats, and then 8:30 p.m. Broncos and Chiefs. We do it next on the Roto Experts. Hey, Mike Florio, are you into this housing music? Is this your kind of your jam?
Not really, but it's a good like wake up
morning song, right? I got you. I don't get
the blood flowing, I guess.
What kind of music do you listen to, Mike? I know what Tony listens to. I know what Scotty listens to. I don't know what you listen to. I know what Corey listens to, too.
I listen to a little bit of everything, but mostly like rap and hip-hop.
Mostly rap and hip-hop.
Yeah.
Who's your favorite artist these days?
Eminem,
still.
Oh, yeah. I think his new stuff is vastly underrated.
Really?
Yeah.
I happen to like his last, I guess it was his last album a lot. It was the last album, the one with, what was the last? Was Rap God on that one?
Yeah,
so I thought that album was freaking awesome.
Yeah, I liked his one before that a lot, too. He had two in the middle that were okay, and it looked like he was starting
Relapse and Recovery, right? Those two?
I like Recovery.
Relapse was awful.
Yeah, Encore, which was like 10, maybe more years ago now. And then,
right.
And then he took like a 4-year hiatus. He came back with Relapse, and it wasn't that great.
I hated Relapse.
It looked like he was trending downhill, and then I think he came back real strong.
Like, went to rehab, and things went turned up for him.
Yeah, and now you hear his, like, his, when he features in songs or his freestyles and everything, he's better than ever, I think.
Yeah. I actually thought the last album was vastly underrated as well. Like, I thought every song on that album was good.
Yeah, I think he's lost a little bit of his, like, edge that he had when he was younger, but
he's
lyrically better.
He's, like, almost 50 years old now, you know?
He's lyrically better,
yeah.
I think.
All right. So, yeah, I love Eminem also. Have you ever seen Eminem in concert?
No. One of my biggest regrets to this day is I didn't go when him and Jay-Z performed at Yankee Stadium.
Oh, yeah.
I almost went, but tickets were like $250.
Just money. He probably went to the Mets World Series for $800 or something like that.
The Mets World Series was cheaper than that.
Really?
Yeah, for me. But, yeah, I was in college at the time, so I was like, oh, you know, I'll go next time Eminem comes around. And there hasn't been a next time yet. So next time he does, I'm definitely going.
All right, cool. All right.
I think Metallica's touring soon because they have a new album out, so my son's definitely going to want to go to that. Maybe I'll go with him.
Frank Sample, our other producer here, is a huge Metallica fan. I know he's seen them live a few times.
Yeah.
All right. From Eminem to Metallica, a lot of musical intrigue here on the Roto Experts in the morning. Patriots and the Jets at MetLife Stadium, 425 Eastern. Patriots are 7.5-point favorites. But remember, potentially no Gronk, potentially no Unicorn, potentially no TFB. Tony, what are you thinking about your Patriots?
Well, you got to look at this from a perspective that if everybody plays, I love Julian Edelman in this game with Tom Brady at quarterback. When you take Gronk out of the lineup, he becomes a target in this contest, and he's a guy that I look for double-digit targets. I think in a PPR league, you put up 20 fantasy points there, and it could even get bigger if you could get him into the end zone. So that all has to be with Brady there. I think a lot of people will jump off Martellus Bennett with only the one catch last week and then being out there. Go back to the well with him, and I think he could come up big. The Deion Lewis, James White situation makes me avoid both these guys. You saw Deion Lewis look good, but limited to snaps, and then James White will be there, so that makes me stay off that situation at running back.
Okay, Scotty, the New York Football Jets, Ryan Fitzpatrick at quarterback here. He'll be in the saddle. Good news for Brandon Marshall. Good news for Quincy Nunua. Good news for Matt Forte.
Just before we do that, what do you think of Hogan and Mitchell this week, Tony?
I think if Hogan plays, that hurts Malcolm Mitchell, and I think that basically he's going to be the second If you look at that and Gronk's out, I think you can play Hogan. But if you don't, if you have Gronk, Hogan becomes obsolete as well. Right. And I think the Deion Lewis White thing, it actually takes away a lot of throws from the Patriots passing game because you're going to get those two guys targeted, you know, 7 to 10 times.
Yeah.
All right. Jets.
As far as the Jets go, you know, New England's defense is having some issues here. I think this is the Jets Super Bowl here. You know, like
he is the Jets Super Bowl.
I think, you know, they want to, you know, knock into New England here if they can. Big rivalry game. Play. It's always big for the Jets when New England comes to town.
So you say that, and in the past, I think you've been 100% true. It's always been a massive deal. But since Rex Ryan has left and his team's really, really turned over with a lot of new faces, a lot of new pieces, and particularly the new coach and Todd Bowles, I don't feel that way anymore. Maybe the fans.
It's not as big.
Right.
It's not as big, but it's still big because they can play spoiler here because New England, you know, still trying to keep ahead of Oakland and the other AFC West teams.
Right.
Fitzpatrick's back here. I think Brandon Marshall has a good game. I think Anunoby is somebody maybe you could start here. And I think Matt Forte, who scored in four straight games, is going to get a lot of work. And I like both him and Bilal Powell. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game here.
Quincy Anunoby this week or my guy? Thanks to Tony Cincotta. My guy! Doriel Green Beckham.
I'm going to go Green Beckham, better shot of a touchdown.
Okay.
Tony Hogan or J.J. Nelson?
I go J.J. Nelson.
Scott's begging us to find a way to get Chris Hogan in his lineup.
No, yeah, somebody have to consider for that wide receiver spot.
You love Chris Hogan.
No, I'm going with J.J. Nelson, man. Yeah.
Well, good for you. I'm proud of you. Make a prediction here, Tony Cincotta.
The prediction is the New England Patriots 38, the New York Jets 24.
Scotty.
New England Patriots 38, Jets 35, overtime.
Overtime! Yes. Wow, you crazy, bro. Sunday night football. This game was flexed in. The Jets and the Patriots were flexed out. Kansas City Chiefs head to Denver to take on the Broncos. Broncos 3.5-point favorites. Denver coming off the bye week. Not coming off the bye week. Were we playing last week? No, they were on the bye last week. All right. Denver coming off the bye week. There we go. What do you think of the Broncos here, Tone?
The Denver Broncos, not a team that we love from many fantasy circles at any time with Trevor Siemian. Sometimes I think these wide receivers actually become a bargain. I look at Demaryius Thomas. He's a guy that I like against this Denver secondary. Marcus Peters missed the last game, so make sure that could be more inviting against this Kansas City defense here. I like him to get you anywhere from 14 to 18 fantasy points. I have him ranked ahead of Emmanuel Sanders, but then relatively close, back-to-back. I like many offenses there. I have their team total at 22 fantasy points there comes into play, and I don't have in my rankings A.J. Derby.
No? Nowhere in that top? No? All right.
No. And Devontae Booker, I don't think this is a bad play for him either because he just gets such a workload. A lot of times we were talking about Capri Bibbs for a couple of weeks. I think you can stop that talk there, and he's going to get you double-digit fantasy points, Devontae Booker. And I think he has a ceiling of about 15 fantasy points.
Scotty, the Kansas City Chiefs, Spencer Ware, and the crew.
Yeah. Well, it's just Spencer Ware. I don't know about the crew. You know, if there's one thing you can do against Denver, it's run on them. It's, you know, they allow 20.7 fantasy points per game to opposing running backs. That counts receiving, which Ware can do. I think Ware will give you at least a decent day. And they got to lean on him, you know, to keep them in this game. I don't know who else you can trust here. This is going to be a divisional war here. You know, there's a lot on the line.
All righty. Tony Cincotta, make your prediction. Denver and Kansas City, a divisional war, says Scott Angle.
I am going with the Denver Broncos to win this one, 21-17.
Scotty?
I am going to go Denver 17 and Kansas City 13.
There you have it. All of the Week 12 predictions outside of Monday Night Football, which we will do on Monday morning.
By the way, somebody just let me know that Eminem's not 50. He's 44.
I said he was getting close to 50.
44 isn't close to 50, though.
All right, you're in your mid-40s.
Yeah, it's not quite 50.
Well, but if you round it down, right, you can round down.
You can round down to 40. You can round down to 40. Sure. Well, I mean, he's closer to 50 than I am. How about that?
You're about halfway there, living on a prayer, right?
I know. I'm more than halfway.
Well, think, actually, if you want to put it this way, like dog years, right?
Is sure.
1 year of a human, 7 years of dog years. But how about a rapper?
No, hold on. Whoa. Did you hear this, Tony?
Let Tony finish his point first. Go ahead.
How about a rapper compared to a regular human life? Like, that's going to be, because a lot of these rappers die early.
They do. They do. A lot of guns involved. What was that?
So
it said dog ears.
No,
so
no, yeah.
It barked.
Can I get that again?
Yeah, he's a good barker.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, that dog bark is by a cat owner. That's very good what he does there.
To do the cat, too.
What the? Oh my goodness! What other animal noises can you make? What was that?
It's a sheep.
It's a sheep.
Sheep.
Yeah. That's a sheep. Anything else you got?
What?
Anything else?
I can't really do a cow though.
No.
No.
A horse.
Horse.
All right. You have talents. I never
knew. Morning zoo, right?
We're a morning zoo. We don't need anybody else. You're a morning zoo. The old school fantasy hour should be you making animals. We take a break. We come back. Hour number three is Mike Lyon. A little NBA talk as well. Stick around. A little extra in the morning. Somehow continues on after that. Oh, hello there. If you're enjoying the Roto Experts in the Morning on demand, well, there's a whole nother hour that you could listen to live every single weekday morning from Monday to Friday. If you want more laughs from Corey Parson, listen to the Roto Experts from 7 to 10 a.m. Eastern every single weekday morning. It's the Roto Experts in the Morning on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.